Good evening and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Aberdour in Fife, and apologies if you're listening to the live stream for the delay. We had a few technical issues which are hopefully now sorted. Delighted to welcome to the show this evening Olga Kozlova and Elizabeth Fairley, and we're going to be talking about the RSE's Entrepreneurial Education in Scotland report. If over the next 20 or 25 minutes you've got a comment or a question for Olga or Elizabeth, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up and include the hashtag edutalk. So Olga and Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Could I just start with Olga? Could you give our listeners a kind of brief background to your career?
Thank you. Initially, I did a PhD in the University of Edinburgh, and my PhD was in cell biology. So I studied an interesting subject of glowing fungi. And my PhD had a number of applications, including in the pharmaceutical industry for discovering novel antibiotics. So after that, I've applied for a Royal Society of Edinburgh Enterprise Fellowship, which is aimed at young researchers who would like to start a technology company in Scotland. So after finishing the fellowship, I actually started a company, and we have raised finance and grant funding and equity investment and kind of developed the product, but at the time basically we couldn't raise further finance, we couldn't raise our A round, and we had to close the business down. And then I moved on to working in business development in the healthcare and life sciences. And at some point, I was invited to head at Watt University with a view to support the staff and students of the university if they wanted to start a company. And as part of it, they've asked me to develop what at the time was a business plan competition. And that's how Converge Challenge was born. So I started it within Head at Watt, and over the last 5 years, it has grown into a national PAN Scotland entrepreneurship development program aimed at staff and students of all 19 Scottish universities, and it provides them with very practical hands-on skills how to develop their ideas into commercial ventures. And we had a lot of success with that. About 30% of our companies, our participants actually form a business. And we already have 51 companies formed, which secured over 14 million of investment. So that's really kind of, in a nutshell, my background.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Olga. And what about yourself, Elizabeth? What's your own background?
Hi. Yes. So my background is medical genetics. And then I went on and did my PhD down in Cambridge on a type of muscular dystrophy. And then I moved more into a commercial environment, working with healthcare data analytics companies. And in 2007, I set up my own consultancy business, EFB Services. And since then, I've been working with a number of startups and growing life science businesses, mainly within healthcare and clinical companies of different sizes, and really kind of helping them to spin out some universities and grow their businesses internationally.
And could we just start off, maybe for the listeners' benefit, just to kind of take us through the work of the RSE and in particular the Business Innovation Forum?
I think I'll pick up this question. I mean, Royal Society of Edinburgh is fairly unique in its mix, because it has people both with academic background and people with a business background, so entrepreneurs, business leaders, who form the fellowship of the Royal the society. So they've created a business innovation forum, which basically draws from both the business and academic expertise of the Royal Society, and it looks to identify and stimulate the process and practices that will increase business innovation in Scotland and also increase the investment in Scotland, with the whole overall idea is to develop more prosperous economy. And essentially it's looking into how universities, academics and business leaders can help develop a more maybe entrepreneurial, more successful, more prosperous society in Scotland.
Just
within the RSE, I just wanted to mention that I'm involved in the Enterprise Fellowship Programme, which is offered by the RSE, and that was established in 1997, and there's been an impressive number of fellows, a total of 127 to date, being supported by that enterprise. And also within the Royal Society of Edinburgh, there's the Young Academy of Scotland, which Olga and I are both members of, and within that we work together within the industry working group. So I just wanted to mention that too.
Yeah. Moving on to the report itself then, can you just say a little about where the report came from, what the context is in terms of the Scottish Government's vision for Scotland to be an entrepreneurial nation?
Yeah, so the report, in 2014, the Scottish Government allocated around $3 million in funding for entrepreneurs. And as part of that funding, there was a commitment made by John Swinney to launch the Scotland Can Do Action Framework. And there was also another programme which received funds, Bridge to Business. And really that formed part of the thinking behind really the paper and really understanding more about entrepreneurial education in Scotland. And who those players would be that we needed to reach out to talk to around the universities, innovation centres, those that are accelerating businesses, those that are involved in programmes providing entrepreneurship and enterprise training at a student level and also at an executive level, or for those that have actually, you know, started their businesses here in Scotland, and also connecting to programmes overseas. Primarily in Boston, in the States.
And there was a report which was published by Regional Entrepreneurship Accelerator Program, REAP, which was done jointly with an MIT. And this report basically looked into, basically there was a working group from Scotland which worked together with colleagues from Finland, New Zealand, China, Spain and Mexico. And basically they came up with a number of recommendations, and one of them was to look at the role of the universities in developing sort of entrepreneurial society in Scotland, which is what Scotland Can Do is all about. So picking that up, essentially the Royal Society decided that it would be good to look at the role of universities, in particular entrepreneurship education.
It would be great to hear about some of the recommendations that are made in the report. I'm particularly interested in the recommendation around the kind of three levels of entrepreneurial skills training. So we'll be starting off with these three particular levels, and it would be great to then hear about some of the other kind of key recommendations that you made.
Absolutely. I mean, when we started working on the report, it was important to clearly define what we were talking about. And by looking kind of at the best practice of the literature that's already published, what was clear is that we're looking really at three sets of skills. First is enterprise education. And really you're looking here at sort of at the broadest possible skill group, things like creativity, ability to kind of respond to the challenges, teamwork, project planning, the kind of the soft skills. And the importance of the skills was really highlighted because, in general, kind of our work is changing. It's unlikely to have the job for life anymore. So the students that are currently studying or graduating are expecting to maybe have between 10 and 20 jobs within their sort of working life. So it's these skills of ability kind of to spot an opportunity, to go for it, to ability to learn, to kind of really present yourself well will be really important. So this is what we call enterprise skills. And they're aimed particularly at the undergraduate population of the universities. Moving forward, we can look at the entrepreneurship education, which really is aimed for those who maybe already have an idea to start a business. And they need maybe some specific skills of how about they will go about writing a business plan, or how they can potentially talk to a customer or obtain funding, whether it's from the bank or from an investor. So this is kind of more specific things. Well, if you have an idea, what do you do next? And this basically was defined as entrepreneurship education. And then moving onwards is if for people already who have a business, who kind of done the initial product development, the service development stage, and are now looking really to grow the businesses internationally, they need skills for growth, to build the team within their business, to raise significant funding, to trade internationally, to approach new markets. And this is really kind of the third higher level for people, really, for existing business owners. And for them, it will have to be a lot more bespoke. The education will have to be a lot more bespoke. It will have to be probably a lot of it will be through peer learning, and for maybe needed to be delivered kind of on a one-to-one basis. So this is really the three particular definitions of it. And in discussions with the different stakeholders as part of the report, what we really discovered that the sort of early stage, the broadest enterprise skills really need to be delivered within the university environment. It will need to be delivered as part of the curriculum. And we're not talking here about entrepreneurship at 10 o'clock. It needs to be kind of created as a challenges that they need to solve as part of their degree course. Entrepreneurship education, which is the next step up if you have an idea, probably will be delivered by a number of initiatives that already exist in Scotland, such as Scottish Institute for Enterprise, Royal Society, Converge Challenge. And skills for growth will really need to be developed more by the bespoke training providers.
I think that's such an important point there that Olga makes as well about the kind of enterprise education, because it's important and try to really emphasise the need of skills or to develop skills around creativity and that real can-do attitude and networking and the willingness to take risk without the fear of failure. I think that's something that's really important and comes out through the report.
Now, you mentioned there's skills for growth. Can you just say to somebody like myself, I've kind of heard that mentioned in reports before, but can you just clarify what we mean by skills for growth and how are these presently being developed in students? I know you've outlined some steps already, and I wonder how this might be improved.
Yeah, so within the report, we actually we referenced some work because it was completed by the Federation of Small Businesses to estimate that 94% of Scottish companies are classified as micro enterprises with fewer than 10 employees. So the need for growth and to drive Scotland's economy is very much there. The need for to support businesses to be able to continue to expand and to really to encourage them to be looking overseas for businesses not only to be able to be selling and marketing products overseas, but also to ensure that we attract businesses overseas into Scotland. And Scotland really does have a very impressive skills and talent base, so It's just about really supporting those companies to really grow and have that international global presence, and also having the ability to attract others to locate and be, you know, to be thinking about opportunities that are here in Scotland growing. So I think other aspects which are really come out through the report is really the need for sales skills amongst entrepreneurs, and really training and support to be able to tackle those international markets.
In general, I mean, what we found is that when you work with people who start a company, especially coming out of universities, they all enjoy the working on their product, so developing the technology. But in order to create business that's scalable, it's the business skills they need. For example, how do they grow their team? How do they hire the right people? How would they, for example, penetrate the market in China or in the United States or in Germany? And how would they, for example, you know, use, I don't know, sort of the new sources such as social media, etc., for doing promotional campaigns, etc.? How would they raise significant funding, something in the region of maybe millions of pounds, in order to open an office, whether it's in Dubai or New York? So all the skills that they need to develop to grow their business and create the businesses of scale, because at the moment in Scotland we maybe don't have a Facebook, but why not? Can't we have something that big? We have Skyscanner, which is a fantastic example of the business who has grown hugely international. We have FunJewel, another example of this, and in Scotland we need more businesses like that. So essentially what this Skills for Growth is aimed to develop more business leaders who would create billion-dollar companies in Scotland.
Now, one of the recommendations was that entrepreneurship education forums should be set up. Can you see why that might be important moving forward, and how it might be done, and indeed further steps have been taken since the publication of the report?
Well, the idea behind the Entrepreneurship Education Forum is that actually if you look at the kind of entrepreneurial support ecosystem in Scotland, so what I'm talking about is organizations or agencies that support creation of businesses, it's really very, very well developed. It's probably better developed than, for example, in England or in other European countries. However, what's great, we have a number of different organizations working in the field. So they all have maybe slightly different remits. So, for example, Scottish Institute for Enterprise will work with primarily undergraduate students. Enterprise Campus will find, you know, will work with postgraduate students. Scottish Enterprise quite focuses on the businesses they can be, you know, high growth. So there is a number, there is organizations that support, like FirstBot, support social enterprises. But the idea was that what we need to do is to bring the key people who work around it around one table to find out, is the system working in the best possible way? And also help a journey of entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs can have help from very early stage, maybe from their own university, and then they move on maybe to do to work with Scottish Enterprise or with Convert Challenge or with the Royal Society. So how can we make this path as easy as possible? Also, one of the points that report makes is that currently the provisions of enterprise education are not consistent. We have fantastic examples of best practices, but they will be different from one university to another. So the idea behind the forum was to actually bring the key people together to see how can we make this provision more uniform. So actually, John Sweeney has convened, which is Deputy First Minister, he convened the meeting in August, which actually essentially had everybody around the table. And there is a huge willingness of people to do things. So at the moment, what Scottish Funding Council is doing is working with a number of stakeholders, including the RSC, etc., to see what form the education forum will take and what will be specific things that it will address.
I'll just remind listeners that you're listening to Radio EduTalk with me, David Noble, and we're joined on the show this evening by Olga Kozlova and Elizabeth Fairley, and we're talking about the Royal Society of Edinburgh's Entrepreneurial Education in Scotland report. Now, just come up to the last 5 minutes or so of this evening's show. You say you spoke to a lot of people, and it was kind of a lot of kind of research went into the report. You've highlighted some great practice going across Scottish higher education. Can you maybe pick out one or two other innovative or excellent practices that you discovered during your time writing the report, or that you indeed were already aware of and wish to flag up?
Well, I think there is, as I said, so much of it. So, but the couple of things I probably want to suggest is, for example, Strathclyde Enterprise Network, which works and which has one of the probably best alumni program engagements, which is called Strathclyde 100. Essentially, Strathclyde 100 is a way that University of Strathclyde interacts with its alumni. And what they make, they bring them on board to be role models for students. Also, any student or staff who starts a business can pitch to the alumni of the university for maybe skills or for potential investment. So this is an example of fantastic entrepreneurship network bringing alumni who are successful in business with the current university population, providing them with role models, providing them with mentors, potentially providing them with non-exec directors, etc. So another example I can raise may be more specific. Heriot Watt University is running engineering design projects, which basically brings sort of the final year undergraduate engineers in team, solving a specific challenge that is set from them by the small company based in Scotland. So they actually work on real-life projects solving SME problems that the company has. And it's fantastic for a company because they have cutting-edge experts essentially working on their projects on solving their problem for free. The company doesn't have to pay anything. And it's great for the students because they actually have something on their CVs, and a lot of them actually find a job then in the company.
And also, if I can just talk a little bit about Entrepreneurial Scotland as well, in the fact that it came together last year with the merge of Entrepreneurial Exchange and the Saltire Foundation. And the Entrepreneurial Exchange is really a network of very talented, experienced, a number of leaders within Scottish companies joining with the Saltire Foundation that runs two programmes, one of which is for scholars, which is a third-year undergrad opportunity in which over 120 scholars were placed internationally last summer, and another programme, the Saltire Fellowship programme, which is more at an executive level. And I think these programmes working together with those initiatives, those examples that Olga just talked about there with Strathclyde and Heriot Watt, are really good to come together to form a real, need to bring these networks together to really be an entrepreneurial, to really drive forward entrepreneurship within Scotland. So it's not just enough to be working within the universities, we really need to be thinking as well about how we connect in to all the networks that are really driving forward entrepreneurship, and also those innovation hubs as well that are from Urban Bay, Strathclyde, Glasgow, BioCity Scotland, here in Edinburgh, Dundee and up in Aberdeen and Inverness, and really working together across Scotland and looking outwardly, internationally.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned there about the importance of networks, and that's been a kind of theme through this evening's show. Again, go back to recommendations, and we talk about a need for a national coordination and development of networks between SMEs so they can support one another, and crucially in a non-competitive environment. So that sounds really important, but would imagine quite challenging within the kind of environments that the businesses operate in Scotland. So can you explain how this has been taken forward or how it might be progressed?
So, I can talk a little bit about an event that we ran in the summer in July at the RSE, which was really kind of understanding whether that an event within that encouraged really focused on a B2B, business-to-business network of individuals coming together in a non-competitive environment. So we had invited a number of companies to that had the aspiration or were currently actually located in the US in California, or were looking to locate and have a presence and locate within the US to generate sales and revenue. And we invited over Regis Kelly, who heads up an innovator in the heart of San Francisco. So really, it was a very successful evening. We had a lot of interaction, not only between the companies of different sizes that we'd invited to the RSE. So we had some that were really just starting on their journey, some that were becoming more established and looking to have presence overseas and internationally. And then we had others that were trading internationally and could help and share their knowledge there. And then we also had, we kind of linked that together with opportunities of how they could be linked with opportunities that are at similar levels out in California, and really kind of explore how they share knowledge there, how they really understand what they need to know to locate to San Francisco, and really talk to people that have either done that or could help them to put them in touch with people that could help them. And it's not just to say, and that's obviously, there's other ways within Scottish Enterprise and Highland Islands Enterprise and SDI, the international arm of SE, that are really supporting companies and really trying to help them to understand and give them the tools and the support that they need to be able to be located and trading overseas.
And just finally, what ways has the Entrepreneurial Education Report been shared and discussed? And it'd be interesting to hear what kind of responses you've received within Scotland and further afield. Kind of looking more, kind of sort of broadening your professional lives, how are you actually taking forward some of the recommendations and aspirations of the report? I'm afraid, sorry for there being three questions in the one there. So, how's it been shared and discussed?
Well, I think that what, if you read the report, the recommendations there were kind of split into some things that, for example, for the universities in particular, some recommendations were aimed more at the maybe Scottish Funding Council and Scottish Government, and some of that was to the enterprise agencies such as Scottish Enterprise and Highlands and Islands Enterprise. So, post the report, the Royal Society of Edinburgh and myself, we held a number of meetings, for example, with the Scottish Government, with the Scottish Funding Council, with the University of Scotland, which is organisations that represent the whole kind of body of 19 universities of Scotland, and also with Scottish Enterprise, and we have follow-up meeting coming up with the Highlands and Islands Enterprise. And really, to to discuss recommendations and to see what things can be implemented in the short term, what things can be implemented maybe in the long term. So as an outcome of it, University of Scotland is already is working on organizing. There will be a parliamentary event where universities can get together and exchange information about, sort of present their best practices in terms of enterprise education. That is one of the outcomes. And the result of the follow-up meetings really will result into seeing, kind of, as I said, what can be done in the short term, what can be done in the medium term, what we're aiming really to achieve together with Scotland can do is a cultural change in Scotland, and that's obviously not going to happen overnight. So the result is really is, what can we do now? What can be like, for example, can universities, each of them, look into their current strategic plan and identify specific things they want to do about enterprise and put it maybe in an enterprise strategy? Scottish Funding Council is currently reviewing their knowledge transfer grant. How can it be best used by the universities collaboratively? So there are a number of things that are already happening that will address the comments that were in the report. And for example, Entrepreneurship Education Forum's meeting we had was really, really useful. So that's really what I would say we are doing. There is some of the presentations that are going to be lined up. I'm doing one as a big entrepreneurship conference that takes place, ISBE, which takes place next week in Glasgow, where I'll be talking to over 400 practitioners about the best practice we have developed in Scotland.
And Elizabeth, can you say something about the response that you and colleagues have received to the report, and then just take us through how you are involved in maybe some of the work around the recommendations?
Yeah, I think, I think the report has just been really received very positively. I also think that it's sparked interest, and people have been talking about how we can really create an entrepreneurial Scotland, how we can be seen globally or globally recognised as an entrepreneurial country that's really driving forward and taking forward our businesses internationally. I think one point of which we've talked about this evening is the importance of mentorship and having people to lead and inspire others. And I think that's really important at the university level, but I also think that we need to be thinking about doing that at a younger age. And that's something that has come out from those that have spoken to me about the report. And it brought to mind a programme that was put together by a Great Scotland career-wise initiative. It's in its quite early years, but it certainly focuses on offering placements for children at school level to go into industry and really understand a bit more about business and the running of businesses. So I think placements like that at university and within the university setting is really important. I also think that being an entrepreneur is not for everyone. I think, as Olga said at the very beginning, careers are our career paths are changing in the fact that people are having to be more creative and entrepreneurial in their thinking. But it's not for everyone. So I think that's something that has been made aware to me as well. I think it's really important that we encourage entrepreneurship and encourage and help to encourage entrepreneurs within Scotland, and that leads on to really, through the strands that we discussed tonight around education and also just enterprise education, entrepreneurial education and skills for growth. So I think those are really important to support.
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Edu Talk this evening. I really appreciate you giving up your valuable time, and best wishes for the future. I will say, just before we go, that if anybody has any comments or questions for you, whether listening to the live show or the podcast, then you can just email in at edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, or on Twitter just include the hashtag edutalk, and I'll be sure to pass those on to you in the days and weeks to come. So thanks again, we crammed an awful lot into half an hour there, and I'm sure we'll be really grateful to have you back on the show in the future, but for now, best wishes and good evening.
Thanks very
much.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Take care, bye now.
Bye.